Well, good morning, brothers and sisters across the region joining us by Facebook this morning and our little group here. This kind of reminds me when I was somewhere around 10 years old and we couldn't get to our little tiny country church from time to time, and my mother would set up the ironing board and tell us, "Jimmy, read some scripture." And that was my pulpit, the ironing board. And these little crowds kind of remind me of that living room sitting a long, long time ago. But I am thankful for technology. I sorely miss the congregation coming together on Sunday morning. And quite frankly, brothers and sisters, we don't know how long this will last. But as we just sung, we're going to have to trust in the Lord anyway. When some things don't make sense, we're going to have to trust in Him. And so I sorely miss not having the sanctuary full of brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors to worship this morning. But I am thankful for technology, and I hope that you're comfortable in the comforts of your home today and have your Bible and have had a time with the Lord in prayer or maybe Bible reading this morning already, and now will join us as we look at Scripture and this topic of false teachers for another Sunday. But before we go any further, let's pray. Father, thank you again that you have not changed. Yes, conditions in America are very, very different than even 2-3 weeks ago. But you, who are seated on the throne in heaven, have not changed. Your love has not changed. Your forgiveness has not changed. Your grace and your mercy, your patience, none of it has changed. And Father, we are trusting you, as we just sung, we are trusting you that through all of this, we call it this pandemic, we call it this coronavirus, we call it COVID-19, through all of this, that you would be glorified, that people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you would revive your church, and people would be set on fire with the Holy Spirit of God. We pray, Almighty God, here and in places all over this nation and the world today, that you, O God, would be glorified in your church, and your church would expand to other peoples, to our neighbors, as Charles has prayed, to those in our communities. We pray that people would come to know Jesus, that we would be surrendered completely to Jesus, that we would be led by the Holy Spirit of God, and that through all of this, whatever it means, we would keep trusting in you. And our faith would even grow. And our head knowledge would become heart knowledge. That statement that so many of us make, "Well, I believe in God," that would become a heart condition. We have trusted Christ. We have surrendered to Jesus. We have given Him everything. You are Lord. I pray that through all of this pandemic around the world, that millions of people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and move off of that, "Well, I believe in God," to be passionate followers of Jesus. And so I pray today, Father, that pastors are taking the pulpits all over this land and broadcasting via other means. We pray that you would be glorified. And I pray that you would visit these people in their homes that are watching us all over this land, some watching this broadcast, some watching others. I pray that you would be with each and every one. And if they're lonely, comfort them. If they're discouraged, encourage them. If they're wayward, Father, draw them back. If they're just down, maybe they've had surgery, maybe they've had cancer treatments, maybe their loved one has been diagnosed with cancer this week, maybe they've lost their loved one, Father, will you encourage them? Will you strengthen them? Will you come alongside them and show them your love all over again? You've been so good to us in America, oh God. You've been so good to us in this church. And we praise you and we bless you. And we would love to come together on Easter morning and worship you and celebrate again the risen Christ. But Father, we commit all of that to you. We commit this pandemic to you. We commit our president, as Charles has said, and our governor and our mayors and our leaders to you. and ask Heavenly Father, do a work in America. Do an eternal work in our hearts. Be glorified amongst us, we pray. Be glorified even today as we have gathered in our homes and in a tiny few in churches. Be with us today. Challenge us, equip us, guard us, and guide us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I wanted to continue this topic of false teachers just a little further. And maybe I misstated that. I'm not sure I do want to. I'm not sure I do like to talk about this. But I think it's necessary for us to understand what Jesus said last week. Beware of false teachers. Beware of false prophets, because they're among you with a false gospel. And Paul said before that, when we looked at Corinthians, he said, I fear lest you entertain or even surrender to another gospel, to another Jesus. And before that, we looked at Paul's words to Timothy about the tickling of ears that is so prevalent today. And so I'm not really sure I do like to talk about this, but I think it's necessary because we have arrived at this time that Jesus talked about and Paul talked about and is spoken about in Scripture. And so I would like to share from Scripture again this morning who Jesus really is and why it is so important to get that right. And you might say, well, what's the big deal? And I think I already know who Jesus is. So let me just say again what I said a couple of weeks ago to remind us of why I think it's so important for us to clearly understand who is Jesus. And I reminded us a couple of weeks ago that whether it's our Muslim neighbors who see Jesus as a prophet, that is other than what the Scripture would say, or our Mormon and Jehovah's Witness neighbors who bring Jesus down to a created man by God, small g God, that is other than what the Scriptures say. And so I said that a couple of weeks ago just for an example. And I've also brought into this conversation today and these last weeks of how many of our current prosperity and or name it and claim it neighbors see Jesus very differently as we see from the Scriptures also. And I've even referred to this too. Oftentimes we see Jesus as nothing more than a genie in the bottle to grant us our best life now or a few of our wishes. And so I think it's vitally important that we recognize the enemy of our souls, the father of all lies, if you will, when he can get a movement off the centrality of Jesus Christ, whether it's 600 AD with the start of Islam and saying, yes, Jesus was real, but he was only a prophet, or whether it's the 1800s when of some of these others that I've mentioned had said, yes, Jesus is real, but he was created by God. He is not God. When the enemy can get us off the center of Scripture, off the truth of the gospel, well, we're headed on the wrong road. And so I think it's very important that we recognize who is Jesus. When I mention these other examples to us, I just want to say this too. If the enemy can get people to think, move us off a little bit of Jesus being God, take away his deity, make him a little less than God, then the enemy has got us off the central gospel message of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we got to conclude and we got to ask ourselves, who's right? Who's right in all this? Why are there so many choices? And where are the answers? Well, I have submitted to you over and over, as has Charles and many others, the answers are in the Word of God. The Bible has the answers, but we cannot just take a Scripture, one verse here and one verse there, and conclude this or that. We must take all of the Scripture in all of its entirety and see what it says about Jesus and about everything else. Friends, I've said this before, and allow me to say it again. Either we take all of it or we take none of it. We cannot take just little bits and pieces and say, that's all I need, or that's all that's relevant for the 21st century. Why are there so many choices? Think about that for just a second. You've heard the statements. We've all heard them. Those few of us that are here and those of you that are listening, we've all heard them. Well, don't all roads lead to God? Why is there so many choices? Well, think of the author of confusion, the enemy of our souls, the father of all lies. Why wouldn't he get us confused into who Jesus is to get us off center a little bit? To get us to thinking, well, he's just a man, or he's just a prophet, or he's a small g God. That's the work of the enemy, to get us off, to get us confused about who Jesus is. I want to say to us this morning, God, our Heavenly Father, the God of the Bible, is not a God of confusion. He is a God of order. And it's the enemy of our souls that wants us to be confused about who Jesus is. And so oftentimes, people are so sincere in their religion or their followings. But friends, I'm telling us, I'm pleading with us, if we are following something other than the Jesus, the incarnate God of the Bible, we are sincere. We may be sincere, but we are sincerely wrong. And so let me say a quote from Kosti Hinn. He come out of the prosperity gospel movement. And I'm going to say this quote several times. If you've got a pencil at home, I would encourage you to write this down because it is profound. Here's his quote. If we get the deity of Jesus Christ wrong, we get the whole gospel wrong. I'll say that again I'll reiterate a time or two today. If we get the deity of Jesus Christ wrong, we get the whole gospel wrong. We must remember who Jesus is. We must remember who he is. We're about to come up onto Easter, and we may get to celebrate in a large group. I hope and pray we do. But if we don't, we'll be celebrating God in our own homes and however. But think for a moment. I had this conversation with a friend of mine who happens to be in the Jehovah's Witness movement just a couple weeks ago. And I said to that friend from John chapter 1, verse 1, think about it for a moment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, my Bible says. Theirs doesn't. But I said, think for a moment, what good would it do for just a man to die for my sin? We are not talking about a man dying for my sin. We are talking about God. That's why this is so important, friends, that we do not water down Jesus. I gave you some quotes last night of current prosperity and all these others that are saying these things. We must get Jesus right. We must know who he is. And so I love this statement from Kosti Hinn that said, if we get the deity of Jesus Christ wrong, we get the whole gospel wrong. I also quoted to you last week from Robert Bauman, who said this. Listen to this. This is good. This is necessary for us to understand, because so many of these are saying, well, he's just a man. Listen to this quote from Robert Bauman. If Jesus is not God for one nanosecond, he is not the God of the Bible. That is accurate. That is profound. You cannot say he's just a man. If Jesus was not God for a nanosecond, he's not the God of the Bible at all. And so we can't diminish who he is and put him in the place of man. And that's why it's so important, as I said here to begin with, to see who Jesus is, to see who he is, and to get that right. Let me just say this. God loves us. God sent his son to die for us. And he does accept us when we come to him in repentant faith. This gospel that he's God, he loves you, don't worry about the small stuff, don't worry about the sin, don't worry about hell and all that stuff. He loves you as you are. He does love us, and he will accept us when we come to him in repentance, repentance of sin, and crying out for forgiveness to Christ and are born again. He does accept us, but we have got to address sin. And Jesus addressed it for us on the cross, and we must acknowledge it and come to him by faith. Now, back to where I started today. Why is it so vitally important that we understand exactly who Jesus is? Because, as Costi said, if we get the deity of Jesus wrong, we get the whole gospel wrong. So I'm going to give us a couple three sets of verses this morning to remind us and to show us from Scripture who he is. The first one comes from Philippians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles on your laps at home, and I hope you do, turn to Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says to them, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So he's challenging them with a statement, be like Jesus, imitate Jesus. But then when he says Jesus, he describes who is Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he describes him. Who? I'm reading from the New King James Version. I am going to mention it from the NIV also. Verse 6, who? He's talking about Jesus. Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. The NIV says it this way, speaking about Jesus, who, being in very nature God. Then the verses go on to say, but made of himself no reputation. This is Jesus, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man. He is God who took on the form of the bondservant, who came in likeness of man. He put on flesh. That's what we call Emmanuel. That's what we call incarnate God. And the Apostle Paul gives us, I think, a tremendously clear description of here. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, this is Jesus, in appearance as a man, this is God appearing as a man. We call him Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. And to Colossians chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1, a few verses beginning at verse 15. I love this description that the Apostle Paul gives to the church at Colossae. Colossians 1, beginning at 15. He's speaking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image. Okay, we can't see God. But what he's saying to us, you want to see God? It's Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And people will argue, yeah, but. God created him. As he created Adam, and he created him in his image, and he created him in perfection. Listen to the description of what the Apostle Paul says about Jesus, God incarnate, in these next verses. He's talking about Jesus in verse 16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and are on earth. By him, God incarnate, Jesus, was with God the Father at the creation. And Paul reminds us of that. By him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth. Jesus was there at the creation as creator. visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him. That's the incarnate God, Jesus, and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. And in all things, he may have the preeminence. And verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, that's Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. The fullness of what? The fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of the Trinity. It pleased him, the Father, that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell. I could turn to John 14 also. Remember, after Jesus told the disciples that night, when he said, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He gave that little encouragement to them. And we get just beyond that, just beyond John 14:6 that we know so well, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. We get to John 14:8, and Thomas said to him, do you remember what he said? Thomas said to Jesus, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Remember the conversation? Just show us God, Philip said. And Jesus answered and said, don't you know me, Philip, even when I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? We've got all these scriptures to remind us of who Jesus is. And yet, today, we've got this movement that takes away from the deity of Jesus. Waters down who he is. Elevates man up, brings God down. I mentioned that to us last week. Why do I emphasize what I'm emphasizing here today? Because it's happening. It's happening around us today. I quoted to us last week, may I quote again, Justin Peters. And if you've got time, and lots of you have got more time now than you used to have, just go on a search engine. Go on Google and type in Justin Peters and listen to what he says about these false gospels and false teachers. But here's what he said, and it's so true, and this is what's happening. This is why I'm emphasizing it today. A quote from Justin Peters. The demotion of God and the deification of man is at the heart of the prosperity gospel movement. Bringing God down and man up is at the heart of much of what's being said today. I gave us several quotes last week as examples of how this is happening. Bringing God down and lifting man up. I'm just saying to us, friends, today, this bringing God down and bringing man up is not the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. It's not the gospel according to Jesus. This whole movement is not of God. It is man-made. And I'm going to give you a couple names here again to start with, and you can verify all of this. You don't have to take my word for it. Go online, listen to Justin Peters a while. Listen to or purchase the CD, DVD, American Gospel. It's 2.5 hours of exposing this stuff. But listen to me a second. This all had a beginning. And it's the enemy of our souls that wants to get us off the centrality of Christ and get Christ other than incarnate. But many years ago, right here in America, it all started with Ken Hagin, who plagiarized, by the way, E.W. Kenyon, who was before him, and it's used by many, many churches today. This idea of Jesus being reduced and man being elevated. Listen to his quote, and many others today are using this same kind of approach. Hagen, I might also suggest, that said his information was a direct revelation from God. And so when I give you this quote, he said, this is a direct revelation from God. Let me just say this, friends, about all of that kind of stuff. Anything that goes contrary to this is not a direct revelation from God. It's been happening since the days of 600 AD with the birth of Islam. Anything that says, I have a direct revelation from God, or into the 18th century with all these other movements, I've mentioned some of them. Anybody that says, I have a direct revelation from God that is contrary to this is not of God. Now listen to this quote. Every man who has been born again is an incarnation. The believer is as much an incarnation as Jesus of Nazareth. That's from Ken Hagen, who plagiarized E.W. Kenyon. That same statement is being used in various forms by all kinds of modern 20 and 21st century preachers. Listen to it again. It's not scriptural, but this is what has been proclaimed. Every man who has been born again is an incarnation. The only incarnation is Jesus, who is the incarnate God. And his statement went on further to say, we believers are as much an incarnation as Jesus of Nazareth. Do you see what he's doing? Do you see what he's saying? Bringing God down and man up. And that's what so many of these people today are doing. False teachers, another gospel, ear ticklers, whatever. There's a lot wrong with that statement. God does not make statements to us today that are contrary to his scripture. I quoted some quotes to you last week. Some that said things like this: you don't have a God in you, you are a God. That is quoted by a very, very popular pastor today. Or quotes like this: if you think bigger, you will live bigger. We are not God. We do not speak things into existence. Or this quote from last week: you have heard God is in control. And this person, this very popular up-and-coming younger pastor, said, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, yeah, it does. It does say he's sovereign. It does say he's in control. And so the reason I'm emphasizing these things as to who Jesus is, friends, is because there's another gospel. And Paul said last week, I fear unless you listen to that, unless you entertain that, unless you start to subscribe to that other gospel. It is among us. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying over these weeks. Jesus is God incarnate. We're not. We're not incarnate God. Even when we've been born again, we do not become God. Those kind of statements are off. Let me give you one more and I'll move on. If some of these aren't outrageous enough, I'm going to give you one more statement. And you can see this statement just like I've witnessed it online, because it's in video from Benny Hinn many years ago. Listen to the statement. I quote, he's talking about the Trinity. I quote, each one of them, talking about the Trinity, is a triune being by himself. If I may shock you, and maybe I should, there's nine of them. End quote. You see anything wrong with that, friends? All of a sudden, this declaration is being made, this proclamation is being made. There's not just a Trinity, there's three Trinities. And we're subscribing to this. That's why Paul said, and I said, shared this last week from Corinthians, I fear that another gospel will come along, another Jesus will be preached, and you will listen to that. That's why Jesus said, there will be false teachers among us. They will look like sheep, but underneath they are nothing but ravenous wolves who come to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. If I haven't given you enough about who Jesus is, I love the simplicity of Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. You know the verse. You'll know it when I say it. But I love the simplicity of it. It says this. Jesus Christ. The same. The same. Yesterday, today, and forever. That means he was the same at Bethlehem. He was God. It means he was the same at Golgotha. He was God. And those of us among us who are trying to reduce Jesus down to man, that says he had to be born again. I've seen those kind of statements. He had to be raised again and filled with the Spirit. I've seen these kind of outrageous statements. This statement reminds us, he was never anything but God. Jesus, Hebrews said, the same. Yesterday, when he formed in the beginning with God the Father, the creations that are around us, he was the same that day as he was in Bethlehem and on the cross, and as he is today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we are trying to bring him down to say, well, he's just a small g God. Well, he's just a prophet. Well, he's just a man created by God. We are taking away from his deity. That is a false gospel. That is a false message. Jesus did not ever cease to be God. Now let me wrap this all up, because I've given us enough to ponder today. One last statement that says this from very, very prominent megachurch pastor that wrote a lot of books and is very popular among us today, said this: when you find yourselves in difficult times, it is good to remind God what you've done. Do you remember what Jesus said last week in Matthew 7:21-23? You get this kind of outrageous statement from a prosperity gospel who has tens of thousands congregating every weekend listening to this. When you find yourself in difficult times, it is good to remind God what you have done. In other words, exactly like Jesus said last week in Matthew 7:22. But God, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, the time will come. The time will come when we will stand at the judgment seat of God. And Jesus said, not everybody that said to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those that have done the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus said in the next verse, that time will also come when people will say and argue on that day, but God, look at how good I was. I cast out a bunch of demons. I did a bunch of wonders. That's exactly what this kind of statement is. Remind God what you have done. No, we don't remind God. There is a God and we are not it. Jesus says to that kind of approach, depart from me, I never knew you. So here's the seriousness. I'm gonna close with this, friends. I've gone on long enough. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the very first chapter, we preach Christ crucified. It's that simple. We preach Christ crucified. Christ, I was listening to more tapes, more things online this week. People think, well, is Christ his last name? No, Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Christ is who he is. God incarnate, the Christ that the Old Testament prophesied. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. is God. And Paul said, the gospel is really quite simple. We preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians, first chapter. Here's the seriousness of all this, friends. Let me wrap it up, then we'll have a song and pray. Too many folks trying to do too many things with Jesus, the incarnate God, Jesus, that are not lining up with Scripture. I hope you're hearing me this morning online, or if you listen to it this afternoon or tomorrow, whatever. Too many folks. I've told you already, I'm not here because I think I know better than anybody else, but I know what's in the book. Too many folks trying to say too many things about Jesus that are not lining up with Scripture. And Paul warns us of that, and Jesus warns us of that, and I'm suggesting us up to us today, do not fall for that. Study Scripture. Study the Word. Trust in the Christ of the Bible. Not in this genie in a bottle. Not in this created small g God. Trust in the Jesus of the Bible. The Son of God who came to die for our sin. The one who rose again. The one who said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. That Jesus. And friends, if you're listening today by Facebook Live, if you know about God in your mind, if you know about Jesus in your head, but you've not brought it to here, you've not repented of sin, cried out, God, forgive me, I am a sinner. If we've not recognized that, life is not all about us, it's about Him. We must repent of sin. We must believe He is the Son of God who died for our sin. We must receive Him by faith and commit to follow Him. If you've never done that, please do it today. By faith and the grace of God, experience being born again today. If you don't know how, send us a text, give us a call, send us an email, send us a messenger. We'll help you with that. But do not miss who Jesus is. Surrender to Him, give your life to Him, and follow Him. It's the only way. He's the one that said it. It's the only way. Our praise team is going to lead us in one last song, partial praise team, glad for what we have here today. And Charles will close us in prayer. God bless you. Keep praying about the coronavirus thing. Keep praying that we can come back together and worship sooner than later. Keep praying for those people that have the coronavirus, that they would get on the other side of it and be well again. May God be glorified through all of it. Amen.
And as we conclude our time together, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You. We adore You. We bless You. We give You thanks for Your great glory, Your power and authority of all that You've created. We thank You that You are the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, Father, we need Your help. Grant us Your Holy Spirit to open our hearts, our minds, our eyes to those things that are not of You. Help us to hear the difference and abandon those things. If we must be brave and bold to take our Facebook account and just stop following some of these false teachers, to stop watching certain programs and even possibly rid our libraries of their books. Father, we are in a time where people need to hear the truth. They need to hear about Your Son, Jesus. What better time for this moment in our history to happen than in the Lenten season that leads us to the victory of the cross of Your Son, Jesus. So help us in our times of distancing and staying secluded. that we will take this time to dig deeper into your word, to seek your son Jesus more intimately, and to be receptive of your Holy Spirit in a more powerful and unique way, unlike ever before. Help us, Father, to discern that which is true from that which is false, and to discard those things that are not of you. Guide us this week. Help us to be ambassadors for you in a mighty, powerful way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.